Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Royals are a better team than them right now. Are the Royals going to be a better team than them 3 years from now? I don't know.
The Royals are going to have a problem the Astros won't have to deal with at the end of the season. They're going to have to pay some guys.
Yeah, the Royals built their team very similarly to the way the Astros have built theirs. Personnel has to get better to continue the upward climb, but the core guys that you've got in place are the core guys, and not a lot of guys have that. I notice it more when it's a guy like Joey Bautista or Bryce Harper than I would if it was a guy like Edwin Encarnacion, who I don't think is a total a-hole.
I don't think it's that bad. I think baseball is full of whiny little bitches, and we were making fun of them yesterday when they were doing their fake fight. And I love it how the Rangers pitcher is talking, oh, calm down, and you're the one who's starting another fight. I was just trying to figure out, how is this any different than Carlton Fisk dancing down the line trying to wave a ball in?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776.
You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of that you just heard, well, you missed a lot of good stuff, especially the 5 o'clock hour. 4 o'clock hour, we did a lot of Astros. But a lot of good stuff in the last hour, all available on podcastarena.com.
Podcast Arena.
That's what we need. We need a Podcast Arena song, because that's where you're going to have to go to purchase our book, which is done. And we'll be available here in a couple of days. We're just waiting on some...
For the low price of $20,000.
No, for the low price of... John, do you want to care to guess how much you're paying for this?
$48.
Well, for most audiobooks, you're paying $45, $50.
Is it more or less than your book on Amazon?
$8,000.
Significantly less.
For a used, signed copy.
Of the audiobook?
Yes.
How do you sign?
I'll
actually
find a way.
If you want a signed copy, the only way you can do it is you'll have to put it on a CD.
A CD.
And then we'll sign the CD for you.
I'm going to guess $22.
You would be incorrect, sir. $12.99.
What a steal.
I'm telling you.
What? Somebody, they're giving it away.
Exactly. Somebody was asking me.
God, I feel like I put a lot of work into that for $12.99.
Well, here's the beauty of our business model. Whenever somebody else does an audiobook, they have to hire people to come in and produce it and do the voiceovers. Well, with us, we just did it ourselves. So we didn't have to hire anybody.
And
so,
plus, you're not paying Michael Carroll. So,
Actually, Michael Carroll's going to be taken care of out of this.
Okay.
So, okay. By the way, it was actually produced and edited by Michael Carroll. So, somebody's asking me if I'm worried about people pirating it. Well, I'm sure that'll happen. But if you can't afford $12.99, then you should not be betting anyway.
That's true.
And, but we'll be putting out links. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN. Now, I need a computer-savvy person to tell me how to do this VPN thing so I can get on PokerStars and it won't show that I'm from the United States.
Fred, you don't need that. Ask Fred's dark side, because...
Well, I'm not good at this stuff.
Or ask Raheel. He would know, unlike me.
Well, if I can... Well, maybe I will ask Raheel that.
I'm dead weight. Don't ask me.
Dude, I got a nice chunk of money in PokerStars from my last trip to Canada. I'd like to be able to get in there and do some damage. And say I'm from Saskatchewan. Because that's what I log on from up there, and I gave my in-laws address so I can play when I'm up there.
Yeah.
But when I come home, man, I've tried to log on. You're in the United States. I need to get around that. Anyway, let's do our we haven't done our college top 25. We just haven't been able to get to it this week. I apologize. We weren't here on Monday. We usually do it on Tuesday, and then that show was busy because a lot of stuff happened. And then yesterday was a big day with the baseball game and everything else happening, and so... Finally, we're getting to it today, and I'll tell you who's not in mine. I don't have Boise State in mine. That's
you're so anti-Boise. You want to get them out of there because you want UH to get the love.
UH is going to get the love anyway. I guarantee you, if they keep winning and they're undefeated, they're passing Boise. To me, you lost, and your schedule sucks. Although your win over Washington looks better, but I have them 26th. I have at number 25 the Duke Blue Devils. 24. Tumbling quite a bit, Cal.
Okay.
I had them much higher, and no shame in losing to Utah, but You got a loss now. Right ahead of them, I have Stanford at 23, which is lower than most people. But you know who I have ahead of Stanford? Team that beat them, Northwestern at 22. And at number 21, I have Toledo.
I have UH 25, Duke 24, Cal 23, Toledo 22, Oklahoma 21.
I have, at number 20, the University of Houston. Right behind Temple at 19, UCLA 18, Oklahoma 17, and Notre Dame at 16.
I have Boise at 19, or at 20, Northwestern at 19. Boy, I need somebody to beat Iowa because I have them at 18. I hate having them here.
Have Iowa higher than that.
UCLA at 17 and Oklahoma State at 16.
I actually have Oklahoma State up pretty high. Here's my top 15. Ole Miss is 15. I have Iowa at 14. Okay. Alabama I have at 13. Behind Michigan, who I have at 12, because I'm giving a lot of credit to Michigan's loss more so than Alabama's. And at number 11, I have Okie Light.
That's extremely high. But, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think they're the same team right now, but that's just me. I've got Stanford, Notre Dame, who another team that I want to find a way to stop believing in. What number am I on? What did we just do?
I just did 15 through 11.
Oh, okay. There we go. Notre Dame, Stanford, Ole Miss, Florida State, and Alabama at 11.
All right. Here's my top 10. Florida State is number 10.
Okay.
The Florida Gators are number 9. I'm very worried about them with the quarterback change. That's why I dropped them a couple spots. Number 8, team that I think could lose this week, Michigan State, who I have dropped steadily because they've been unimpressive.
Yeah.
And their win over Oregon looks worse by the week. So, at number 7, I have Clemson. At 6, I have TCU. And that's where I'll stop.
I have number 10, Florida. Number 4, number 9, Michigan. Number 8, Aggie. Number 7, Michigan State, which, as in your case, I've dropped quite a bit. And number 6, LSU.
At number 5, I have Aggie. I have them ahead of TCU because I think if those two played right now, Texas A&M would beat them.
Okay.
At number 4, I have LSU. Number 3, I have Ohio State. Number 2, I have Baylor Bear. And number 1, I have Utah. Best body of work so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've got TCU number 5, Baylor number 4, Clemson number 3, Ohio State number 2, and Utah number 1.
Yeah, Clemson, I have a hard time judging yet, but I'm impressed with them. I mean, I have them 7th, and I will probably bump them past TCU here, depending if TCU has another close game. TCU could have easily had 2 losses by now, and we're not even in the top 25.
Clemson's gotten to that point where, I mean, obviously they'll play Florida State, and that'll be a big game. But any other loss that they have at this point is going to be a huge upset because they won at Louisville, they beat Notre Dame, and they beat Georgia Tech. So besides Florida State, which is a home game, the best teams on their schedule are Miami and South Carolina, neither of whom I think are very good.
Right.
I mean, obviously the South Carolina game's a rivalry game, and that could be big. But this might be the year that Clemson actually finishes what they started. And I think they've got a quarterback that is just a difference maker, man.
I love that kid, but I cannot let myself believe in him because I started to believe in Georgia this year, and look what happened.
Yeah.
Funk.
They're out of the rankings now for me.
Yeah, me too. And I said, you know what? You're right. This is a different Georgia team. This is a different Mark Richt. Funk. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Michigan State number 2 last week. I've got them at 7 now.
Yeah, I've dropped them to 8.
I can't deal with that nonsense anymore.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Let's get some phone calls in. 713-780-3776 is your number. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. How am I going to be an optimist about this?
Your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. How would you like to win two tickets to see the Dynamo take on the Seattle Sounders FC? Sunday, October 18th.
I love that. Last
home game of the season. Kickoff is at 4 p.m. at BBVA Compass Stadium. Special offers are available for Saturday's game and are now available. Special offers for Saturday's game are now available. Get your tickets now. Log on to HoustonDynamo.com and go orange. Caller 10.
You're good. This Western Kentucky, North Texas line.
Yeah.
It's now 35.5 points.
I can't touch that either way.
I can't either. You know what I can touch, though? And the total for the game is 72.
Mm.
And not something I do often, but the first half total is 40. I want to get a little on the under in that first half.
That sounds good.
So that'll be a little side action for me. I'm off to a good start on this total in the Auburn-Kentucky game because these defenses, I mean.
7-7, and it's still
it's
8 minutes
four
left.
Minutes, yeah. They are just bad defensively, both those teams.
Mm. Let's grab a quick phone call. Brad, you are on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys, real quick.
Sports.
The bat flip, you know what? I know it was definitely excessive, but, I mean, when you give up a bomb like that in as big a spot as that, I mean, that's just emotion. I mean, and then on top of that, the fans, I don't think you would see beer flying from Houston fans landing on somebody because the beer cans would be empty. Let's put it that way. So, And then one take on the football. What do you guys think about Michigan State and taking the money line on that with the 8? That's a big number for Michigan State, isn't it?
You know what? I played Michigan -6.5 when that line got dropped. I liked it because I didn't want it to get outside of a touchdown. Michigan's just a better football team than Michigan State right now. Michigan is, you know, and here I'll give you two schools right now that if they were better at quarterback would be in my playoff group right now. And you can, you know, I talk about how important quarterback is all the time. And I don't think it's nothing new. It's in football. It's the most important position by far. But when you look at Michigan and you look at LSU, if those teams were even competent at quarterback, which neither of them are, but if they were even competent at quarterback, they'd be some of the best teams in the country. Because everywhere else, they're fantastic.
I think they already are among the best teams in the country. And Michigan's loss was there's nothing wrong with that loss. If they don't lose another one, they're going to be in that playoff.
Yeah.
And I think they're good enough at every – and LSU, we say this all the year, every year almost.
But LSU's never been this bad at quarterback. You know what teams have?
No, I don't remember. I remember when they were throwing out that transfer from Harvard a couple of years ago. What was his name? Hatch?
Yeah.
They've been worse.
The only teams that have less passing yards than LSU this year are triple option teams.
But you know what? When you have a guy like Fournette, do you really want to be leading the world in passing?
You don't want to be leading the world, but it's nice to have that option. You know what I mean?
As long as it's working for him, just keep giving the guy the ball. I don't care if you can't pass. Just don't turn it over. Play great defense. Give the ball to Fournette. Don't turn it over. You're going to win a lot of games.
You'll win a lot of games. I don't know if you can win all the games, though. I'll say this, and that's the reason why I still haven't really put myself all in with that team. Because it's very difficult for me to trust a team that has literally a zero at quarterback, but everything else about that team, it's really hard not to love. I mean they're well coached. They've got arguably the best player in the country at running back, but they can't throw the ball to save their lives. They can't throw the ball at all.
Texter says, hey, guys, the quarterback for TCU is awesome. What are the odds the Texans will draft him?
No.
He's not an NFL quarterback. He's
Case Keenum.
If that. And the kid at Bowling Green I would throw into the same boat. He's Case Keenum, basically.
And I want to make an apology. I'm wrong because LSU, that was a stat from last week. LSU has passed Boston College in passing yards.
Okay, there you go. But stop being wrong.
The only other teams behind them are Air Force, Army, Georgia Southern, and Navy. Mm. Teams that don't throw the ball at all.
Hey, this
they all have less than 50 pass attempts.
This Nevada ruling, I think you're going to see a lot of other states do the same thing and try to get some money out of them.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. And the Justice Department's investigating them now. I think everybody's looking at it and saying, oh, wait a minute. We made this legal, and technically it should be legal. But you've also got the poker people screaming, hey, wait a minute. If they're legal, why aren't we? And if your basis is that it doesn't affect the outcome of a game, that it's individual players, why aren't individual player prop bets legal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the difference there? And
that's what I say this all the time. Daily fantasy sports is essentially prop bets.
Exactly.
It's a series of prop bets.
But it doesn't impact the outcome of the game, which is the NFL's take on it, which, okay, and I don't think it does. But one other thing that I have to get to, and I don't know why they're running this commercial every 5 minutes. They did it during the Astros game last night, every inning. And I joked about if you do a shot every time that the fish lady comes on and tries to sell you Viagra, the chick who looks like a fish with the number 16, then you wouldn't be awake for the end of the game. What kind of commercial is that? It's a chick by herself in a football jersey talking about men's erections over and over again.
That doesn't do it for you, huh?
No. Plus, she looks like a fish. And not the good kind of fish like Ariel is a mermaid. That's cool. But an actual fish? No. God, that commercial's annoying. Please stop showing it. I will never buy your product.
You will one day.
No, I won't.
You'll go with an alternative brand?
Well, I'm not going to go with what Lamar Odom was doing.
Don't do that.
That would be bad. John, admit, you've noticed that too. It's annoying.
No, not really. I don't pay attention. When in between innings and stuff like that, I just check my phone and Twitter and stuff like that. I don't really pay attention to the commercials anymore. And plus, I stream a lot. Especially if I'm out and about. I download the apps, like the FS1 app, and I just watch it that way. And they don't have those kind of commercials on there. They have some weird ads about.
No, they just showed her a minute ago again when I looked up.
Yeah, I did see that. I did see her. Okay,
fish lady. That's what I call her. Somebody did point out, not an LSU fan, but keep in mind one of their games got canceled. But those were average yards, right?
Yeah, average yards. Yeah.
So that the game canceled doesn't matter. All right, do we want to squeeze on a phone call here, or do we want to go to break a little early and get all of Jim Lampley in so we have time for Hoffman on Hollywood? What do you want to do, John?
It's not terribly too long.
Okay, well, let's grab Josh then.
Hey, how you doing, Fred? AJ?
Sports, man.
I was looking at the Texans schedule, and the only two teams I think they'll probably struggle with or have some problems with is the Bengals and the Patriots. What are the chances of them running the table and making the playoffs?
0.0. I don't know what Texans team you've been watching, but the team that I watch sucks. And why you would think that when they're losing to a Matt Hasselbeck-led Colts team, what would make you think that there's only two games left on the schedule that they're going to have a problem with? I don't see that.
I'll say this. I give them a 10% chance of running the table the next three.
I'll give them that.
Yeah, I don't think that's impossible if they actually start forcing some turnovers.
I don't think it's impossible, but I don't feel great about it.
No, that's why I said 10%, AJ. Yeah. It's not like I'm saying, oh, 80% chance they go 3-0.
You don't think the Jets will give them a problem? The Jets are 3-1, one of the best defensive teams in the league.
You don't think at Buffalo is going to give them a problem?
Yeah. Hmm. Dude, honestly, they've got a problem this week. They're underdogs to the Jaguars with a backup quarterback. Come on. John, where was Keyboard Cat on that call?
You know what? I kind of think that's the same guy who called and said, no way that Tom Brady puts up 30 points on the Texans defense like the Cowboys.
Not to mention, in the history of ever, the Texans have not gone to Indianapolis and won a game. Ever. You think this is the team to start that? Come on, man.
0.0. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll have Jim Lampley when we return. that's just a wonderful call to end the calls with today. It's a blitz.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is a man that's been involved with boxing for a long time, one of the great voices of the sport. Jim Lampley joins us on the program. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
I can't complain. Talk a little bit about the fight coming up on Saturday, Golovkin-Lemieux. This is the first time Gennady Golovkin is going to be on pay-per-view. Obviously, this is a guy that's been talked about for a long time. What can people seeing him for the first time expect to see in this fight?
Well, what you expect out of a Gennady Golovkin fight is a knockout. We're talking about the hottest knockout sensation in boxing. 30 knockouts in 33 fights, the last 20 of them in a row, the highest knockout percentage of any middleweight title holder in history. And he's fighting a guy, David Lemieux of Montreal, who has 31 knockouts in his 34 fights, and is probably the only middleweight in the world who can claim to be the equal of Golovkin in terms of sheer punching power. A year ago, on my show, The Fight Game on HBO, I said that if Golovkin-Lemieux could be made, it could become the Hagler-Hearns of this generation. Boxing fans know what I'm talking about, the three rounds of intense mayhem between Hagler and Hearns in the middle 80s, in some regard as the most intense three rounds in the history of the sport. That's what a lot of people fully expect out of Golovkin-Lemieux Saturday night. These are two guys who are very accustomed to knocking their opponents out early, and it's what they're going to try to do to each other.
If both guys have the punching power to finish fights, and it's clear that both of them do, is this going to come down to who has a better chin, who's going to be able to take more?
Well, it's always important who has a better chin. And at the end of the day, people have asked me, why is Golovkin so heavily favored over Lemieux? And there are two or three basic answers. Number one, Gennady's unbeaten, and Lemieux has lost, and he lost once by knockout to Marco Antonio Rubio, a guy Gennady brushed off like a fly in two rounds. So that provides one graphic comparison right there. And fighters always tell you psychologically, if you have at some point given in, if you have lost by TKO, as Lemieux did against Rubio, then that's there in your mind, that it's always possible, and it's more possible than for a guy who is 33-0 and hasn't yet had a real moment of adversity in a professional fight. Another good thing to look at is that David Lemieux had an amateur career, but it wasn't a really deep amateur career. He knocked most of his opponents out, and he moved on to professional boxing fairly rapidly, whereas Golovkin had 360 amateur fights, of which he won 355. So there are very few fighters in the recent history of the sport that bring the kind of depth and pedigree to the ring that Gennady Golovkin brings. And that's one of the things that makes most ringsiders see him as being potentially historically special.
As we see some of these stars of the sport sort of fading off at this point, do you think Gennady Golovkin, or the winner of this fight for that matter, has a chance to take the crown as boxing's next big superstar? And obviously we haven't seen pay-per-view numbers on Golovkin yet, but he's on an Apple Watch commercial. There's not a lot of boxers outside Manny Pacquiao who are as promotable or marketable as this guy. Do you expect him to be boxing's next big star?
Well, I think there are two significant tracks that you cover there, and they mimic the recent history of the sport economically in a very graphic way, and that's the fact that you've got a bigger pay-per-view, a much bigger pay-per-view coming up November 21 between Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez, and it's much bigger economically because of the overwhelming appeal of boxing to Latino audiences, and that this is one of the long line of great fights between the number one Puerto Rican fighter of the moment, Cotto, and the number one Mexican fighter of the moment, Canelo Alvarez, and so that's huge. And whatever number Golovkin Lemieux does Saturday night as a pay-per-view, it's going to be dwarfed by what two far more established names, Canelo and Cotto, do on November 21. And as for the next giant star in the sport, most big stars, aside from Mayweather and Pacquiao, in the last 20 to 25 years have been Latino. And so there's a kind of established niche now, tradition, for there to be one dominant, overwhelming Latino superstar in the sport at any given moment. Juan Manuel Marquez occupied that role until very recently, when I think it has clearly been subsumed by Canelo Alvarez. So if Canelo Alvarez were to beat Miguel Cotto next month, he's the next big star in the sport, no question about it. And Golovkin would take a while as a public attraction to get to that level, just as Manny Pacquiao took a while to get to that level because he was from the Philippines, didn't at first speak fluent English when he came to these shores. Golovkin is very similar in his development at this momentary stage to the professional arc of Manny Pacquiao and his American appeal. And the question is, can Golovkin become Pacquiao? Can Canelo become one of those enduring Mexican icons? And will they be the two big pay-per-view linchpin attractions for the next 10 years?
I find Golovkin very likable. I think when you watch his post-fight interviews, maybe it's unintentional, but he makes people laugh. He just seems like a nice guy. Very much in the ilk of Pacquiao. And I know boxing, like you were saying, is a very nationalistic sport. People cheer for people from their country. Is it a rare thing for American boxing fans to grab onto someone who is from outside of the U.S. and make him into a big draw?
I don't think it's as rare as some people might think it is. I mean, I go back to the 1950s watching Cuban fighter Luis Rodriguez and Nigerian fighter Dick Tiger and, before that, Cuban fighter Kid Chocolate, various fighters from other shores who have achieved some prominence in the United States. But to my way of thinking, Manny Pacquiao is the only one who ever came here from an exotic foreign place and became a mainstay linchpin star. Golovkin has a chance to be the second in that line of succession. And most people, kind of root for their own in boxing, but Golovkin, you touched on a brilliant point. I mean, you've seen it so clearly. He fractures English in an incredibly charming way. I mean, he makes all the right mistakes. And when he started out saying that the, knocked out opponent was a good boy, people fell in love with that. His fans on the web became Good Boy Nation. He moved on to Big Drama Show, and now everybody loves that. They wait for the moment after the fight when Gennady's going to say, was it Big Drama Show? Do you like Big Drama Show? Mexican style is now another one of his catchphrases, and that is a direct reach out to the Latino audience. Pacquiao accomplished some of that, getting Mexicans to root for him. Gennady has got Mexicans rooting for him even more wholeheartedly than Pacquiao did because, there's something about the way he fights that's so compelling for them. They are sophisticated fans. They see the way he cuts off the ring, the way he uses his jab to set everything up, the way he's defensively responsible amid all the mayhem. It's really something to watch. And by the way, if there's one fighter whose style is the one that Gennady Golovkin is reproducing and mimicking, it's Julio Cesar Chavez. He goes to the body and breaks the opponent down just the way Julio Cesar Chavez did.
That's Jim Lampley. You can see Golovkin Lemieux on HBO pay-per-view this weekend. Appreciate the time, Jim. Hope you have a great call. We'll see you out there in Vegas in November for Canelo and Cotto.
My privilege. Thank you very much. Let's talk again before Canelo Cotto.
Yes, sir. That's Jim Lampley. We'll be back with more on the Blitz next. All right, and before we hit the break, I'm going to tell you about Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. If you injured yourselves or you're still trying to play young man's games in an old man's body, you need to know about these guys at Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. It's part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive, and they're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They're the best. They've developed a system to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal because nobody likes sitting around in that waiting room. They've got three easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front of the building, and they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com where you can learn more about the doctors. You can schedule your appointment online. And a physician referral may not be necessary depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out. 281-344-1715 for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Like a pimp, slapped a hoe. My father jumped up and he started to shout. So I threw a right cross, cold knocked him out. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your card. Knowing nothing. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas coming up at 7 o'clock. Join A.J. Hoffman Saturday for College Game Day Party presented by Coors Light at Luke's Ice House. Our feature game of the day is Alabama versus Arkansas. Meet us on the deck at 2:30 for the kickoff. Catch a cold silver bullet with us and register to win tickets to see Texas take on Kansas State with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Coors Light. And I guarantee you, A.J. will have a beer with you.
Yeah, I'm not like those other guys.
Just saying, who take a bunch of time off and don't drink beer.
Yeah. I'm not one of those.
A couple people on that commercial, Robert said, try watching the game with your 11-year-old daughter when the Viagra commercial comes on. Yeah, that the first time you get the daddy, what's an erection question? Yeah. And
daddy, what? How long is too long when it comes to an erection? That's the question I wouldn't want.
And 4 hours or more, you're supposed to call the doctor daddy? Is that how that works?
Yeah. So what's going to happen if it goes on longer than that, daddy?
Daddy, have you ever had an erection for longer than 4 hours?
What's your longest-lasting erection, Dad?
Oh, man, I can't imagine. Gab says, I thought it was just me being female, but I hate that commercial. It's they play it all the time, and she's so unattractive. Anyway, sorry, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's do it. You mentioned this one to me, Die Hard 6. I don't know what they're thinking with this, but I guess to truly finish off Die Hard and kill it forever, they're going to travel back in time. And basically, I mean, the original came out in 1988, and they are apparently going to make a prequel to the original Die Hard that came out in 1988.
And somehow Bruce Willis is still going to be in it.
Yeah. The movie's still early in talks, but the apparent plan is to open and close the film with scenes of Willis as a now permanently sleepy-eyed John McClane, providing the last remaining fan, veterinarian Larry Squabable of Hasselfack, New Jersey, with the yippee-ki-yay's mother bleepers he so desperately craves, is what this article says. But I don't know what they're doing with this.
That last one was a disaster. And I love that series, but stop, please.
There should have been three.
No more.
There should have been three, and that was good.
Yeah, the second one was not very good, but the third one was really good. Stop there. Anyway.
You've got a rider, if you're a big star. You go in with a rider, and that's what they have for you backstage.
Right.
Big rock stars usually have some crazy stuff. The Rolling Stones have their rider, Sir Mick Jagger and company. Their standard list, a never-ending flow of alcohol and cigarettes and butlers on hand 24 hours a day. They also need a set of written instructions on how to use all the electronics in their hotel rooms. Management for the band, which is Mick, Charlie Watts, Keith Richards, and Ronnie Wood, drew up a list which was issued at every hotel they visited on the tour. The chief requirements were that the hotel bar remain open for as long as they needed and that several butlers be supplied to handle their room service requests. A choice of Marlboro Red and Marlboro Light cigarettes was on the list, and blacked out windows in the hotel rooms to enable the band to enjoy themselves in privacy. They also asked for an after-hours dry-cleaning service. So they're still rocking old school. You know, rock bands nowadays are asking for, like, can I get M&Ms with all the greens taken out, please?
Yeah.
Oh, this is now?
This is...
Oh, my goodness.
Current day 72-year-old Mick Jagger. That's his rider.
So I guess he doesn't... He's old enough to where he doesn't know how to work a TV.
He can't work a DVD player, stuff like that. It's a mess. But that is rock and roll, man. That's what it's all about. And the fact that those dudes are still living is pretty amazing. The fact that they're still living like this.
And Keith Richards especially, because that guy did so much heroin.
These guys are badass. Jenny McCarthy, she wants to, we talked about Playboy axing the nudie pics. She wants to take one last hurrah, one last rodeo. The 1994 Playmate of the Year has said that she's campaigning to be featured full frontal in the magazine's last explicit issue, slated to come out in March of 2016. She said, I would be totally willing to take it all off one more time just to say I'll be in the last one. She also lamented the magazine's direction to go away from nude pictures explaining that it was a refuge for classy nudity. She says, they really captured that innocence of the women, almost like art. There was nothing that I felt was too embarrassing or gross, and nothing that I'm not proud of today.
I would say it's art, but innocence? No.
Yeah.
It's not what we bought it for, man.
I hope not.
Not what we bought it for.
And Anna Duggar, Josh Duggar's wife, the naughty Duggar, apparently has threatened with divorce, and he is flipping out. He's admitted to cheating on her, claimed that he's addicted to internet pornography. He's checked himself into a faith-based treatment center, which apparently leaves her at home with the four children for the next 6 to 8 months. She doesn't have a job. And it's not a rehab per se, but they call them students, not patients. It is a school of discipleship where students learn how to live the crucified Christian life. They can spend up
to crucify them?
8 months in the program. I hope not. That'd be super counterproductive.
Yeah, it's like, come here, Josh.
Yeah. But they recently had their first visitation, and perhaps the couple had a discussion about divorce during that time. But either way, Josh is flipping his lid, even though it doesn't seem like he's all that happily married, necessarily, if he's on Ashley Madison.
Just move on.
Yeah.
Just move on. Ditch her and get a new one.
But there you go. That's off and on Hollywood.
I don't understand why people stay in unhappy marriages, man. I guess it's because you're crucified. Once you get nailed, you can't
I can
go
tell
anywhere,
you
right?
exactly why he's staying in an unhappy marriage. She has four children.
How many are his?
All of them.
You sure?
Yeah, they waited for each other.
Oh, okay.
Saved themselves for marriage.
You believe all that?
That's why Michael Carroll needs to get that out of the way. He needs to, like, you know, you need to ride the bull before you decide you want to be a rodeo clown. You need to make sure that you're into it.
Well, you know what? There's some people who wait, and it works out great for them. I don't think I'm one of them.
Josh Duggar isn't one of them.
It happens. It happens, but, you know. It's all up to you.
Auburn's in the red zone again. Good news.
Yeah, your scoring has slowed down a little bit, though.
That's all right. It's not good news if you're a Kentucky backer, because Kentucky's offense isn't as good as I expected it to look. But the 52 is not that big of a number when you're at 21 early in the second. I feel all right.
We're still at 21 at halftime. You're not going to feel good.
I'll feel less good then.
This might be my favorite Stone song.
This is my favorite Stone song.
Really?
Yeah.
John, favorite Stone song?
I'm Too Young.
Wow.
This has the most plays on Spotify.
Yeah. Well, you knew Mr. Rogers, so.
Yeah.
Can you say Rolling Stones? I knew that you could.
Somebody the other day, I was at the gym, and these two guys were talking about music. The guy said the Rolling Stones was overrated. And it, you know, I hate talking to strangers at the gym, and I almost had to be like, dude, you're an idiot. And he's like, Aerosmith had more hits than the Stones.
You know who else did Rush? Do we think Rush is bigger than this? Get out of here. You should have choked that guy out. All right, that's going to wrap
it's illegal.
It up. Great job, Jong. Great job, AJ. I want to thank Jim Lampley, Christopher Harris for joining us. Willie B. Till tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.